This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, buddy, hour two, GBAG Nation 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Here's Zach Wolchuk with our NFL news.
Thank you very much. We got pro days happening as we speak. Texas is holding theirs out there in Austin. I know our buddy Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com, in attendance. Brian Schottenheimer, Cowboys offensive coordinator, along with some other scouts, are in attendance there as well. USC, Ohio State, Alabama, some other teams that are having their pro days. I think Mike McCarthy's out there at Alabama.
Mike's at Alabama, yes.
There we go.
Yeah, I had a scout call me this morning.
Hell,
tell
yes.
Me, he goes, your head coach is here today.
Well, Caleb Williams is drawing rave reviews for his pro day. I've always thought these were interesting. Like, I'll never forget Teddy Bridgewater, Johnny Manziel, like some of these guys. People were just raving about how awesome their pro days were. And you're throwing against air. It's a designed workout that's built to make you look good. Like, if you don't look good, I think then, Houston, we have a problem here. But Caleb Williams, I mean, my gosh, just watching that arm strength, some of the cuts that are coming out there on Twitter or X of him, it is jaw-dropping, just the arm talent that this dude has. I mean, he's throwing the ball 80 to 90 yards in the air on a rope, almost overthrowing some of his receivers. Like, it's he might be the guy that could overthrow a Tyreek Hill. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
What Caleb Williams is doing right now. Now, Marvin Harrison Jr. is skipping the pro day. He's not going to work out for teams and scouts. So he's not doing this. That's according to Sports Illustrated.
Jeez,
Monday morning quarterback.
Peace.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he skips. He didn't do the combine.
He's not doing anything.
So he is.
He doesn't have to. He's not going to test well?
He's just not testing. I think he just feels like he is cemented as a top five pick and he doesn't need to. Or he's going to be, at worst, the second wide receiver taken.
Okay. If you had some questions about Marvin Harrison, what would they be?
I would want
to know. As a player.
I do want to know what his agility would be like, you know, some of the lateral movement, the straight line 40-yard speed. But
yeah.
Then I just want to get it. I would just like to mainly just meet with him, see what makes him tick as a
person. I think, you know, they've had
the tape's unreal.
They've had a chance to meet with him. The thing that I think that when I watch him play, and this is why that I would, this is why I don't have him as the top guy. I think there's some questions about really how well that he separates, you know, and are they scheming him open and things like that? I would like to see him just work out like you're talking about with the agility stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe have an idea of like, okay, I know I'm going to get times on all the other top receivers in this draft, but I, you know, maybe there's going to be a way that how am I going to break that tie?
Because you saw a guy like Adonai Mitchell. I mean, his stock has definitely gone up because he crushed it with all of his times.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to kind of figure out. The tape is outstanding. Don't get me wrong. I mean, but there's some things about him that you have to, there's some questions about him as far as the route running. And I kind of just wanted to make sure that.
Just to see it.
You know, just to see him. Because, like I say, the tape, yeah, there's some positive stuff, but there's like maybe there's a couple of routes that I'd want to put him on.
Yeah.
That to kind of say, okay, he could do this for me or he could do that for me. So he's a hell of a player. But, you know, when you start doing these things, you know, like I say, I'm trying to figure out what if he gets to the Giants at 6? with what if all these quarterbacks start going?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're trying to figure out, do we want Neighbors? Do we want him? You know, there's, I don't know. That's kind of the tough thing about it. I'd like a little bit better, the ability to make a little bit better decision, because I know I'm going to go see Neighbors work out, and I'd like to see this kid work out too, just to have a little bit of a port of reference for both the players.
If I'm a team, I don't look at you like hurt guy, but you're somewhere in between a clean prospect and hurt guy for me. I am downgrading you for this. I am assuming that you don't think you can help yourself, that you want the tape to speak for it, because the times are going to make us wonder. They're going to give us a little bit of anxiety. You're talking about, you know, Brian, you don't have him as the number one player, even though he spent the majority of his college career the presumed number one wide receiver taken in this draft. And if I'm competitive and confident, I'm going to go hush those people. I'm going to make it very clear that I'm the guy to take. The reason he's not is because he doesn't believe he can, is what we have to believe in the draft room.
I don't know what he's hiding.
He might not be hiding anything.
He might not be, but he leaves that question open.
He leaves you wondering. Maybe there's something.
For sure he leaves you wondering that. Is there something that I'm not, am I missing here that you're worried about that I'm going to expose? You know, and maybe you can't do it in a 30-minute workout.
I mean, if you're a top five pick already, a smart agent's going to tell you to not work out. We're going to get this bag, and it's going to be massive. Mm-hmm. And if you do bust in 4 years, it won't matter because you'll have $30 million. If we go work out and you fall to the end of the first round, that bag is going to drop by 70%.
Yeah. Especially in a draft where it seems like there's some hair splitting at the top at the position.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's very possible that the top three receivers are like players 2, 3, and 4 on a lot of people's boards. And we're talking about the entire draft. Like those three receivers are five of the best players, period.
Apparently, Albert Breer reported that Marvin Harrison Jr. apparently asked the 9 teams that he met with in Indy at the Combine if they needed to see anything at the pro day, and they all said no. So
maybe he got information and said, I don't need a test. But
wow,
I was surprised because also at Ohio State, I think when I was there, the way that they have their 40 set up, it's kind of a slope to
it's
where
downhill.
Like, it's built to run faster.
It's you could get some guys flying. I got Joey Galloway flying at Ohio State. It's a downhill track.
So you'd run a better time there than anywhere else.
Oh, no question about it is. If Albert Breer's telling me that I'm surprised that 9 teams didn't want to see him work out, I'm surprised at that.
That's interesting. We'll see if that has any impact.
I can't believe that, man. I just can't. But, hey.
Well, and, hey, to be fair, Albert Breer is saying that's what Marvin Harrison Jr. is saying. That's not Breer going to 9 teams and confirming it with them.
If that's the case, then all the top – nobody should have to work out then. If you just want to just watch – and maybe that's what we're coming to, you know?
I mean, all you tape lovers should just be loving this,
fine.
Man.
That's fine.
It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying, but I haven't been a part of these, you know. Like, I haven't gone to a pro day. So I don't know really what we're missing out on here, but I you know, if I had my choice, I'd love to see the guy work out.
There's some things you can ask him to do. There are certain things. There's some routes that you can ask him to run.
Yeah.
That maybe correlate to what you're trying to do, and you want to make sure that, like, okay, well,
he checks the box.
He could do anything that we ask him to do.
Why don't you take your guy Bully to a pro day though? You know, you hear what
I mean,
said?
We're on the show. I mean, I don't
know.
Oh,
I know. I'd love to go. I mean,
a little field trip. You guys
go to SMU.
Go into the field.
SMU.
Yeah, we could go over to SMU and stuff like that.
We could do it. Yeah, we'll schedule something. Yeah. We'll work it out. Now, this was also interesting. I think this is a great idea, and we're seeing more junior quarterbacks do this. But so Jordan Whittington, Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, as I mentioned, they're all working out for Texas. Quinn Ewers is out there throwing. So Quinn's going back, of course, to Texas, but he's now getting already kind of an early pro day in front of NFL scouts before his actual one. You're seeing this become more and more common for some of these quarterbacks that return to school. I think it's a great idea, and it's great exposure for Quinn.
Yeah, it absolutely is, and that's good. And it's good for there's a comfort level too for these receivers and their quarterbacks. So they're gonna put their best foot forward that way.
It's awesome.
Those receivers are really good at Texas.
Oh, my gosh. Really good. I mean, Adonai Mitchell, I absolutely love. Xavier Worthy, his stock has certainly gone through the roof with the 40 time he ran. And Whittington, he's a guy that just battled injury, but he's a fun player as well there out of Texas. NFL Competition Committee has proposed a rule that would penalize a player with a 15-yard penalty and grant the opposition an automatic first down for using the hip drop tackle to bring a runner to the ground. The definition of a hip drop tackle is you grab the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms and unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body, landing on and trapping in the runner's legs at or below the knee, which is exactly what happened to Tony Pollard when he got hurt in that 49ers game. We saw it happen to Mark Andrews when he was being tackled by Logan Wilson against the Bengals this year. We'll see if this gets passed, but the NFL trying to do something. I guess it's more of a player safety move than anything.
Man, I just...
It's tough to play defense.
Yeah, and I don't think it happens enough to warrant this. I mean, the Tony Pollard play in the San Francisco playoff game now 2 years ago or whatever, that's what that play is. And it is definitely unfortunate when it happens, but how often are we actually seeing injuries from
the story
this?
I brought up said a league executive, Jeff Miller, had said the hip drop tackle increases the risk of injury 25 times the rate of a standard tackle.
Wow.
They aren't happening that often, but that's, if that data is confirmable, I don't know. What do you think? You know, is that enough?
It's just a very subjective one. It's another one of those where, hey, here's another free 15 yards and a first down. It's going to be a little bit aggravating.
Yeah.
But it's similar to the horse collar. These guys will begin to adjust a little bit.
Do you think the NFL could look at this as a way of increasing the offense after scoring came down last year? Like, we're getting safer and maybe get those 5-6 points
could
back
be.
On the board.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be. Seahawks signed Jerome Baker, former Miami Dolphin linebacker, to a one-year, $7 million deal. That happened yesterday. We also have Dante Foreman, a former Texas running back, who we looked at as that would be a perfect veteran running back addition for the Cowboys. He is signing with the Cleveland Browns, who always do a good job of adding running back talent to their room. Former Eagle defensive end Derek Barnett has agreed to terms on a one-year deal with the Houston Texans. So he is going with Houston.
Houston getting better.
They are. I mean, Houston's having a hell of an offseason. Speaking of the Eagles, New Heights podcast, Jason and Travis Kelce, they had on now Jason's former teammate, if he stays retired, Lane Johnson. And they had fan questions that were being sent in. One was from a San Francisco 49ers fan, but he asked the question we've been wondering about as Cowboy fans as well. Here's the New Heights boys.
Let's start off with this. Lane, can you tell the world once and for all why you are always false starting?
Oh, my God.
My coach tells me this.
I think all the 49ers fans out there are chomping at the bit to ask this question.
So coming into the league, all I saw was articles of the false start, me getting away with it, and I was like, it's about to be a long season.
Yeah.
And then I guess they mistook me for Juwan Taylor.
Shout out in the Super Bowl, Juwan Taylor.
As you know, if we're late off the ball, the defensive end likes to get the tackle turned, and then a lot of bad things happen. 100-meter dash, that first 10, 20 isn't looking good, you're going to lose the race. So
yeah.
That's how I see it.
The most important thing for any player is getting off on the snap count.
Do you think doing all these reps for 10 years with one person, you might have an advantage over the defense?
I think so, yeah. The other thing that drives me crazy, especially with you, is when they do it in slow motion. Because when you do it in slow motion, it looks like it's a worse difference than – but when you watch it in real time, most people can't tell the
difference. They need to just put a laser on my foot and a laser on your hand, and that would be the best way to do it. If you're late off the snap, it doesn't matter what you know, you're done.
You got to keep the – defensive end in front of you if you want to block him.
Yeah.
Once he gets to your edge.
Bleeping cheaters. Lining up off the ball.
Man, he sounded like Dan Campbell. I think he might not have grown far from him, or maybe there's a distant family relation.
He did go to Oklahoma. I don't know where he went to high school, though. That's something maybe we could look at.
I know he played quarterback in high school.
I bet Glen Rose.
Groveton.
What is it?
He's a Texas
boy. You can take your outside foot and pick it up before the ball snapped. Is that what's going on here with Lane Johnson?
He found a loophole.
Yeah. He's figured out how to keep his, be able to kind of rock that right foot back.
Yeah.
And then he gains a lot of distance. But his peripheral vision of what he sees with, you know, he's got a rhythm too of what Cal Kelce snaps. You know, once Kelce gets the signal, his mind is probably going 1,001, 1,002, go.
Yeah,
you just
moved that a quarter second earlier. Yeah. Next thing you know, you're the best right tackle in football.
Maybe he gets some more false starts called with a new center this year. He doesn't have that timing down.
Yeah.
Maybe something to watch for with old Lane Johnson. So we know the Eagles are going to be playing in Brazil week one, the first game in Sao Paulo, Brazil for the NFL. There's a Browns player who was interviewed by the team website, Maurice Hurst. Mo Hurst, out of Michigan.
Mo Hurst.
Defensive tackle. Had himself a little heart murmur.
Murmur.
Caused him to drop in the draft. But
yeah, we kept wondering why, right?
Yeah,
we all had first round grades on him.
Second, third. Yeah. Ended up being, I think, a fourth rounder.
I think it was the fifth.
Maybe the fifth.
Yeah.
Told the Browns website, quote, "I mean, we're playing in Brazil this year," in an interview. Now, obviously, the schedule hasn't been released. We don't know who's actually playing the Eagles. So then he kind of backtracked and said, "I have zero information that we'll be playing in Brazil. Just excited at the possibility of being one of the first teams to do so. Would be happy lining up with this team anywhere."
Oh.
Kind of backtracked. But if it ends up being the Browns, like, do they know? Do they get a little tip ahead of time?
Oh, it's the Browns. He just let the cat out of the bag. Shouldn't have done that. But I think it's a perfect matchup there with the bird turds against the Browns. Match made in heaven.
Mm. And there's your NFL news of the day.
Thank you, Wolchuk. Always appreciate that. All right, we have a special guest coming up. Andre Snellings, the ESPN senior writer, NBA analytics for ESPN. We'll talk to him about all things Mavs and pick his brain about what this team might be capable of down the stretch. Stay tuned. It's next in the Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Nation. Hope you're having a terrific day as we're about to be joined by a special guest. We're going to talk basketball. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to truckwreck.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. As joining us now is ESPN senior writer and NBA analytics expert for ESPN, Andre Snellings, here on the Fan.
Building!
And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Doing good. How you feeling?
Man, we are great. You know, Mavs get another win last night. They're playing better defense. How good are we, man?
Yeah, you know, so about a month ago, I wrote an article that ran on ESPN, particularly ESPN Bet. So I was looking at futures, and I was saying that at that time there were several futures that went through Dallas, and I really thought that the Mavericks had a chance to still win the division. At that time, they were only a game behind the Pelicans. They sent on 2.5 back, and the Pels are playing really good ball, but the Mavs are a team that I think other teams don't really want to play, because we've seen in recent years, 2 years ago, they went to the conference finals built almost purely on Luka being too much to handle in the slowed down half court version of basketball that's played in the playoffs. And so when you still got Luka playing at that level, but now you've got Kyrie Irving, who can pull out a random left-handed skyhook to win a game, every so often. And you've got some better defense and better big man play since the trade deadline. I think they're a pretty formidable team. They're not a team that I would say is like a favorite to win the West, but I think they're a team that the favorites in the West wouldn't really want to play.
Yeah, how would you handicap that? When you start to talk about the West, because we every day we talk about, you know, play-in situations. Oh wait, they're in now. How do you handicap how this is going to work out? Because I think there's a lot of teams at the bottom of this table that probably the top teams don't want to play.
Yeah, so it's difficult in the West because there's no solid ground. At the top, right, you've got three teams that are all within a game or two of each other that could flip-flop the order. And so whoever has the one seed, you know, is going to be a much bigger difference than having, say, the three seed. If you're a team like the Mavericks that's also fighting for one of those, you know, six, seven, eight seeds, you know, right. It's really going to depend. I think the one team that is kind of a step above everyone right now is the Nuggets. They're the defending champions. And I guess what might work a little bit in the Mavericks' favor is they've shown that they can at least battle with the Nuggets. You know, they've so far they've just about split their season series. They're 1-2. But the Mavericks did take the most recent game. And so, you know, outside of the Nuggets, I don't think there's another team that the Mavericks can't look at and say, you know what, we have a decent chance against them in a seven-game series. I think that I have maybe the Timberwolves as the team that can maybe push the Nuggets the hardest because they've got that size to make Jokic work for it. But, you know, I think that the Mavs could handle the Timberwolves because they've got more experience and a better perimeter game. So, you know, it's almost musical chairs or maybe a big game of rock, paper, scissors is the way to look at it. It's like, okay, we might not be able to beat this team, but we can beat that team. And, you know, the final seeding is going to play a big difference in how it plays out.
It's Andre Snelling's ESPN with us here on the Fan. Wolchuk.
Yeah, I was wondering after the trades, I know you wrote your futures article with the additions of P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford, and my gosh, I think Gafford has been even better than we could have dreamed of, but how much did that change the way that you were viewing the Mavericks and then now having seen them play post-All-Star break, how much better are maybe you viewing the Mavericks?
Yeah, no, it changed it in a big way because the article was written right, I think, during the All-Star break or right when we were about to come out the break. And so at that time, I think the Mavs had won maybe five or six games in a row, and they were looking really good, but they had just made those trades. And I think the bigs make a huge difference for the ceiling of the Mavs because, again, right now everything kind of has to revolve around the Nuggets. And what we saw in last year's playoffs was that if you're not big enough, you're not beating the Nuggets because Nikola Jokic can just bully ball 99% of the NBA. And last year in the playoffs, that's what happened. Even the Lakers, who were thought of, they play like a big team, but Anthony Davis was not big enough to slow down Nikola Jokic. And so with the Mavs bringing in, you know, they brought in a center and a power forward, and then they had the rookie center in Lively. You know, having 2 7-footers that can defend the rim, that are good shot blockers, and then another actual power forward, not having to start, you know, Derrick Jones or somebody at the four, it changes the whole dynamic. You know, with Luka, he's one of the most unguardable, you know, Swiss Army knife players in the NBA. And then you've got Kyrie. Between them, their perimeter game is amazing. So they really – and their offensive upside is amazing as well. So they really needed some size, some defense, and some rebounding. And I think the trade deadline moves help give them that, which again gives them a chance against pretty much any team in the West.
Now, it feels like we've created Lob City 2.0 here with the way Luka and Kyrie can set up Gafford and Lively. Can we track like who the league leaders are in the alley-oop situation? Because I feel like since the addition of Gafford, the Mavs have to be at the top of that list.
Yeah, so that is a stat that's tracked. Because it just happened at the trade deadline, I'm sure the Mavs are still lower on the list. But over the full course of the season, I wouldn't be surprised if they do end up, you know, moving forward being among the tops. Because Luka is so hard to defend, and really Kyrie is too, just in different ways. But both of them, you have to defend them out to like 28 feet. And both of them, you know, Kyrie with his slick handle and Luka just with his size and ability, you know, craftiness with the ball, the defense has to focus so, you know, so much on them. Both the man guarding them, they might be doubled. Even if they're not doubled, the defense is kind of like hedging towards them. And so if you're a big man, just go to the dunker spot and put your hand up because – they can go and pretend to shoot and throw the alley-oop, and the team is still going to be defending the shot until it's way too late. So, yeah, that's some easy offense that really works in the regular season and should even have some success in slowdown postseason.
Okay, can you give us an idea of what the best estimation is of their potential defensively? We're wondering, you know, with Luka and Kyrie on the court together so often, not known as great defenders, can they evolve, you know, with what's left in the regular season and change what the data is telling you now as far as how good they are?
So that's the thing. Like, you know, they're not going to – I mean, we're getting towards the end of March, and the regular season ends, you know, early, mid part of April. So who they are now is probably largely who they're going to be. I would argue that who they are now is much better defensively than who they were before the trade deadline. They're not going to be a lockdown squad by the end of the season. The hope, though, is that they can be good enough. And we've seen that their bigs, especially with their block shots, they're able to control the paint and get rebounds at key times. And that's huge for their defensive prowess. So the hope is they're no longer a team like what we saw out of the Suns the other day against the Bucks, where, you know, it was just a track meet. The other team is just scoring at will, and it's a can we outscore you? That's what the Mavericks want to avoid, and I think they can avoid that now. And so you get into the postseason, things slow down. It's a lot more half-court game, and Luka and Kyrie are both excellent at the half-court game. And so if the defense is good enough, then they can be competitive and they can be a tough out, even if the defense isn't their calling card.
What are you thinking about the MVP race right now? Is it Nikola Jokic to lose? Does Luka have any type of opportunity?
It's probably Jokic's to lose, and if he loses it, it's probably going to be Gilgeous Alexander. I think Luka, the difficulty is the team record. You know, like right now, they're still battling to stay out of the play-in, and I think it's going to be a hard case to make when you look at, you know, both Luka and Jokic having these amazing stats. But, you know, one of them is fighting for the one seed and the other one is fighting for the play-in. It's going to be difficult for them. I mean, I think if the Mavs, you know, they've got 13 games left. If, say, they went 13-0, just for the sake of argument, they are currently 3 games behind the Clippers for the 4 seed. If they could, you know, close that gap and end up pulling out the 4 seed, now they'd have to jump over 3 teams to do that. But if they could do that with Luka on that 35, 10, and 10 pace that he was on for most of the last couple weeks, then, yeah, maybe he sneaks back in because the voters are human and what they see last can influence things. But I think that's a long shot. So right now I think it's Jokic is to lose, and Luka would kind of need to really pull a feather out of the hat to get back into it.
When do we when is Wemby the best player unanimously in the NBA?
The way that he came in, you know, he had all of that hype, just like LeBron did. And just like LeBron 20 years ago, in my opinion, he's outperformed the hype. So to me, before the season, I would have said, you know, give him 3 or 4 years. The way he's played this year, by the end of next year, going into year 3, again, much like LeBron, by year 3, it was kind of, he was joining the Kobe's and Duncan's and Garnett's of the world is thought of as the best player in the NBA. I think we could see the same out of Wemby by the time he's in year 3 as well. And after that, you know, unless Anthony Edwards keeps skyrocketing over people, at some point it's going to be Wemby alone.
Andre Snelling's with us here in the G-Bag Nation. I think it's very evident you are a genius and you understand numbers at a way that I cannot comprehend. When you're putting together some of these articles for ESPN and you're giving advice to people, what are some of the numbers that stand out to you when it comes to the NBA to best assess maybe what I should be doing when you're looking at evaluating these things?
Yeah, so ESPN has an analytics department, and I do a lot of work with them. They have a team evaluation measure called the Basketball Power Index, BPI, and through BPI, they're able to estimate down to game to game what they think the score will be in a given game, you know, what the playoff odds are for teams, their chances at success. And that stat does really well when compared against, you know, Vegas and the odds as far as betting analysis goes. So I like to reference BPI. For individual players, I really like the plus minus, or what I call like the impact stats, because for the MVP, to me, that's the stat that most correlates to the MVP. How does your team scoring margin change when a player is on the court versus when they're off the court? That's kind of, you know, as close as we could get to a holy grail stat for player value. So I like to look at those things as well. And other than that, I watch a lot of basketball and you know, try as best as I can to incorporate what I see into my advice.
All right, Andre, I don't have time for your pro stuff. I need your Final Four for the tournament coming up, please, to help me out here.
Woo! Yeah, so I just mentioned I watch a lot of basketball. I watch a lot of NBA basketball. I got a family of five. So as far as college goes, I tend to go with my home team. You know, I live in Connecticut. I went to the University of Michigan. I went to Georgia Tech. I went to Duke. So hopefully some of them are in the mix. I know UConn won last year, so I'm picking them to win this year. But I would not say you should take my college advice over my pro advice.
How about BPI analysis here? Is Boston really that much better? Is Cleveland really the second best team? And what's up with Denver being so far down the pecking order here on it?
Yeah, so BPI, they factor in how a team has played, and they also factor in kind of the impact stats of all of the individual players on that team. So, you know, Boston, if you add everything together, they have been this season so far probably this much better than everyone else. And you'll notice it's Boston, and then the gap between second – the gap from Boston to second place is bigger than second to, like, I don't know, 15th. So, yeah. You know, after that, there's kind of a what you would call a almost like a car crash. You could pick one or another, which – kind of plays out for the Western Conference in particular. But within the BPI, if you click on the tab for playoffs, you can look at like playoffs percentages, you know, chances of making the conference semis, finals, champion, all that stuff. And there you get a little more granularity. And there, where Boston is still number one, when you get to the Nuggets, they're listed as the second.
I see.
Actually, yeah, they have the best chance of coming out of the West. And so, like, that's probably a little more realistic than just looking at the pure BPI.
Awesome stuff, Andre. Appreciate you. Great chat, and we look forward to doing it again.
All right. I look forward to it.
There he goes, Andre Snelling's ESPN with you here in the Nation. Yeah, that BPI is a cool tool there when you click on the projections in the playoffs. I'd never done that till he mentioned it. Okay, where are we going next, Chief?
Sports Hodgepodge featuring the most impactful athlete in America next year in the Nation.
Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Back Nation here on the Fan, guys. Home of the World Series champion Texas Rangers. And coming up at 4 o'clock, we're going to jump into some baseball stuff with you. They are in action against the Reds this afternoon. Time now for a rim session. Here's the Chief.
All right, Masters or Ballsack here. I got a Brooks Koepka quote on Tiger playing in the Masters saying, quote, Tiger playing in the Masters is like when your little brother wants to play Xbox with you. You give him a controller, but it's turned off. He thinks he's making a difference, but he doesn't matter.
I'm going to go Masters.
Yeah, dude, Koepka doesn't bleep around. What do you think over there, Broadus?
That's a ball sacker right there.
I'm going to say sack, although that's pretty funny if it's true.
Majority rules, that is a good old-fashioned sacking, but it almost got me, man. That same PGA, PGA Tour account that got me on that dude with the in and out and, you know, soiling himself on the way to the tee off a few weeks ago. That one, this one almost got me again. So I wanted to challenge you guys on that. But Koepka, he's known to put some interesting quotes together. So there was a chance for that one. But that's a good old fashioned ball sacking.
I don't think there's any golfer on the face of this earth that's going to go after Tiger Woods.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
I think there's other golfers that will attack each other. I don't think they will attack Tiger Woods. He happened to be in the Bahamas a couple of days ago, like negotiating for all the players on the PGA Tour. We got LIV, we've got the PGA Tour, we've got everything. They're trying to figure out what they need to do here to kind of bring the tours back together. And Tiger Woods was the one representing the PGA. So and the tour players. So I would venture to say not many people would ever go after Tiger Woods.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Not a professional golfer.
You know, I I love that because I want them to have respect for him. And, you know, he's obviously earned that. He's a legend. He's the Muhammad Ali of the sport. Call him whatever you want. I just feel like, you know, we've been robbed, you know, because of the injuries. We should be in the midst right now of 48-year-old Tiger Woods, still probably in the top five of the world. You know, I think it is one of the great, you know, living sports tragedies. Obviously, you have, you know, other big ones in meaningful life. But as far as guys that were taken away right before it was about to get epic, you know, especially if you're guys my age, I'm the same age as Tiger Woods. He is, you know, my generation's champion. And I was looking forward to watching him, you know, take on the younger generations well into his 40s, maybe his 50s. He would have been on like a Tom Brady, LeBron run right now. Like, wow, this is stupid. He's still at the top of his game. I can't believe he won again. Back to you, Chief.
No, you're 100% right about that. I have another one here. I want to play some sound for you guys. This is from an old MLB broadcast that I saw recently, and I'm trying to figure out if this is real or if this is doctored, because if it's real, this is one of the meaner things anyone's ever said on a play-by-play broadcast as the play-by-play man goes after the umpire.
You know, John, my son goes to the same school as the umpire's kids, and I think he's fighting a custody battle right now. My wife spoke to his mother, and apparently he drinks. That could be the reason he's missing so many calls.
My wife spoke to his mother. Apparently he drinks.
I'm like, dude, is that how we were getting down back then, Broadus?
Yeah. We didn't have time for you.
With a cigarette sitting in the ashtray right there as you're sitting broadcasting.
Maybe a scotch too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but that's how guys kind of got toxic back in the day. They still sounded like very professional.
That's great. Yeah, it's still very broadcasty, professional, but he is completely eviscerating someone's personal life right in front of America.
Who is the?
I don't know. It's from Baseball Quotes on Twitter, and I just see the 10-second clip, and it looks like it might be Yankees Red Sox, but I can't be sure. It's definitely from like the 70s or something. But it will. I'm like, if that's true, that's up there with Bob Costas.
Oh yeah,
calling out one of those pitchers years ago about how his family must be so embarrassed, even his family that's in the grave. Like it got pretty crazy there with old Bob Costas. But wow, okay, so you guys think that's a baseball? That's not a butt cracking situation.
No, that's I think that's legit.
I don't think you could doctor that. Yeah, I think it's real.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, Caitlin Clark is presumably the most impactful athlete in all of sports right now, in all of America at least, because I'm seeing from Front Office Sports, one former ESPN executive believes that the WNBA will be trying to get 20 to 40 million more in their next media rights deal, and they could score, like, it's going to be like a 33 to 67% spike in overall media rights. Caitlin Clark is most unusual athlete who brings fans to the sport for the first time. The value of Caitlin Clark coming into that league is going to be the most profitable thing that the league has had in a really, really long time.
Yeah.
And they say WNBA believes its current deal is undervalued. And if WNBA doesn't get what it thinks it's worth during joint negotiations with ESPN, it might seek its own deal. But the Caitlin Clark economy is a very, very real thing, and it's about to boost it big time for the WNBA.
I mean, I salute them for trying to negotiate it right now. It just has not translated college basketball success. It was like this before Magic and Bird with the men's game, as a matter of fact, right up until the early to mid-80s, where the college game was a lot more popular. And it took a catalyst. Maybe Caitlin Clark could be that player that gets people excited. Having a Steph Curry-like impact as far as, you know, breathing new life with the distance shooting, you know, for a long time. And it still is the dunk. But I think the world is perhaps a little bit more or just as captivated by the three ball because they imagine that could be me. You know, if I could just shoot the living crap out of this ball and get people terrified to run at me, you know, I could go do this. And I think, you know, that was the thought with Steph Curry. Obviously, you're wrong. But, you know, they look
the illusion
a little
is
bit
there.
More. Yeah, the illusion's there.
Yeah.
It's like the ultimate underdog.
I kind of feel like the women's sport that's getting traction. I see a lot of like positive news about that. Is the NWSL, the soccer league, the women's soccer league.
Seen a lot more of that.
They've had
too.
They're up that thing is up now to, I think we had our first $100 million franchise.
Wow.
Is what we did. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah. And then like, you know, and even the even to get in was like $50 million. So I kind of see that as the one that maybe that's the one that's on the rise. I don't know. The WNBA has been around for, you know, for quite a few years now, you know, or 25 years or so maybe. And so, yeah, but this women's soccer league is the one that everybody's kind of earmarking as maybe the next big thing for women's sports.
Well, death taxes and another Wyatt Bankford dong ball, ladies and gentlemen, make it six homers in spring training for our guy Wyatt Langford. Just cranked another one.
Yeah, 18 RBIs, which is the most in all of Major League Baseball in the spring. And Marcus Semien also has a grand slam today.
Feels like August out there. They were on a five-game losing streak, or winless streak, I think would be more accurate. But they're about to bust out of that this afternoon, aren't they?
Oh, my gosh, dude. They're calling him Wyatt Trout in surprise right now.
Wyatt Trout. Let's go.
What a badass.
Hey, we got to run, Nation. I'm going to pivot and jump into some baseball because it's exciting and there is a ton of news. We'll try to get Sands on the horn when this game is over a little bit later on. Of course, the Bullies Top 10 is coming up at 4:20. Rich Rangers fans, do you want in on this piece of memorabilia? How many could you possibly justify buying? And what would your annual salary have to be in that game? It's coming up next right here, the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.